Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Musical Connections Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Snow, and this is the show where you'll discover more about the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. So come along with me now and explore what makes Newfoundland and Labrador's music scene so unique and so special as we connect Newfoundland and Labrador music with the world. I got another great episode lined up for you this week, and already this week, because last Sunday I dropped a bonus episode of the Musical Connections podcast as we covered the East Coast Music Awards and the road leading up to it. Of course, that is just about 5 or 6 weeks away before the big festival and conference take place May 7th to the 11th here in St. John's, Newfoundland and Labrador. Well, that episode was with Heather Feather, and you're going to be seeing more of those over the next few weeks once I get some of them booked up. In the meantime, I'll be having as my guest this week on our normal episode of Musical Connections, drummer and musician Michael Dinn. Now, Mike came on the show to talk about his RPM Challenge submissions. Those were with Smoke Spectre and Grog Bit. We also go over his career in a nutshell, from growing up in a musical family and getting to know his family members, Philip and Noel Dinn, his uncles, by the way. And that was great to know about there. We also talk about his drumming career, which includes stints with Baytown, the Cartridge Family, the Daisy Cutters, among others. And what it felt like to open up for rock and roll heavyweights in Canada, like the Matthew Good Band, Simple Plan, The Trues, and the Northern Pikes. We got all that and more coming up on the Musical Connections podcast this week. That'll be my conversation, and this was a fun one to do. But what's even more fun are the newfound releases that I got for you. These songs came out or were submitted to me between March 16th to the 22nd. And we kick it off with a brand new song from Alex Duffy. And Alex has been a guest on the podcast before. And here's his brand new song for you on the Musical Connections podcast. This is When Water Chokes.
Maybe it's all a part of the plan. We were never meant to understand. Maybe the words we read have a deeper meaning. What's the point of this life without?
That was When Water Chokes from Alex Duffy for you on the Musical Connections podcast. We got another brand new release from Ash Molloy. Now, she put this out the week before the deadline reached for last week's episode. But with Ash Molloy making such noise in the Canadian music scene, I gotta feature her this week. Right now, will I ever learn? That's the song from Ash Molloy, and here's that for you now on the Musical Connections podcast. On the Musical Connections podcast with Will I Ever Learn. We got a brand new artist for you here on the podcast, and this is a debut single from Evan Watts Smith. Now, Evan Watts Smith is a familiar performer here in Newfoundland and Labrador. You may be familiar with him if you've seen shows from The Spirit of Newfoundland and Ta-Da Events. Well, this song is the first single off a brand new album called Turn On the Dark, set to come out May 16th, and he'll be celebrating this with a big release show at the Majestic Theater. Well, right now from that brand new album, Turn On the Dark, here's the debut single from Evan Watts Smith. This is Until You Love Me on the Musical Connections Podcast.
My phone rings, it's you again. Calling to talk about another man. He brought your flowers with a price tag still on. Paid for his half of the bill. I listen in silence, what good would it do for me to say those three words to you? Maybe someday you'll feel the same way, but for now I'm gonna leave you alone until you love me.
This is giving me Michael Bublé vibes for sure. That was Evan Watts Smith on the Musical Connections Podcast with Until You Love Me. And we got a brand new release, well, new re-recorded release from Jason W. Gill. He put out this song about 4 years ago, but decided to re-record it and have a different take on this brand new tune that we're going to feature for you on the show. Right now from Jason W. Gill, here is De-Escalate on the Musical Connections Podcast.
Anyone's guess who's gonna clean it up?
That was Jason W. Gill on the Musical Connections podcast with De-Escalate. We have another brand new debut single, and it comes from an established rock and roll performer. From Bowater, we have John Reed up next. And you may be familiar with John Reed, of course, from his years with Bowater, and you may see his face at NL Promotions shows, in particular, Rock the Rock. Well, right now, here is his debut single as a solo artist. This is Say Goodbye on the Musical Connections podcast.
I've got a lump in my throat, a tear in my eye. Too soon and left us all behind. Leave us yearning for the simpler times. It comes in waves across my mind. It's hard to take with shy to make the hands of time work out to shake up your whole life. Days. You left the way you play. I love you more than all the sand down in the sea. All that's left is your name.
would have to say goodbye. It comes in waves across my mind. It's hard to take with shock to mend the hands of time. One call can shake up your whole life. I never dreamed that I would have to say goodbye. I never dreamed.
And that was John Reed for you on Musical Connections with Say Goodbye. Our next newfound release comes from Alberta-based but Musgrave Harbor-born Michaela. Right now, here is Music in the Car, and I hope you have this podcast on in the car as Musical Connections continues.
Some people like it by candlelight. Soft and gentle with a glass of wine. Some people like it with a can of beer, pumping in a country bar. Some people like it in a fancy club. Some people like it in a stadium. Oh, how you like it says a lot about who you are. Music in the car. Sound of the rushing wind with a little engine noise mixed in. Me and the radio riding through the night together, adding the tires humming on the road. Crank the tunes and away you go. Oh, if you ask me, nothing ever sounds better. I like my music in the car. I'm cruising along with the windows down. I like my music on the open road. You know there's something about the way it sounds. I love dashboard drumming and strumming on an air guitar. I still like my music in.
That was Michelle for you on Musical Connections with Music in the Car. And we have a brand new EP release from Nico Paolo. First, congratulations are in order to Nico and Adam Hogan on their brand new baby, Salvador. And I wish you guys none but the best in the many years that you'll be parents together. Well, this album is called Interval_O. Now, I hope I got that name right. But this is a very interesting album, and here's one of the tracks that really took me away. This is Memory 4, Move Like a Flame, from Nico Paolo on Musical Connections. Nico Paolo for you on Musical Connections with Memory 4, Move Like a Flame. Our next newfound release comes from hip-hop duo Roz and Hollett. Here is Can't Do, right here on the Musical Connections podcast.
What's uncommon? Common sense. Way more common. False confidence. Tomatoes rotting like Romulus. Bro codes forgotten. Fuck the consequence. These rappers getting pissed on. No R. Kelly. Bars are from the thrift store. Stolen off the telly. I bring the yay shit storm. Ain't nothing you could tell me. Yo, finish. Get the pitchfork. I stick it in your bellies. Thinking you slick. You a bitch. It's a brony. Drink up to my lips real quick. Keep it flowing. We hop in the whip. Hit the strip for some Tony. No, we off the rip with our shit, nothing phony. Need to calm down the ladder, I say goose robber. Take some deep breaths, so to mix my marijuana. Damn, it feels good, I'm a medulla oblongata. Love getting zooted, revolution like Zapata. Flip flop on them, slide through, it's all Gucci. Pit stops, wanna hit it raw like some sushi. Lip lock, yeah, a little smoochy on the booty. Gridlock, waist to my socks, feeling groovy. Recently, feeling like my life beat a movie. Frequencies higher every day, looks fruity. Let's equally divide the flavor and make a smoothie. Easily allied with disorders, yeah, we goofy. Bars so hard, got Roz's beat serving life.
Roz and Hollett on the Musical Connections podcast with Can't Do. Well, we got one more newfound release for you, and it comes from folk duo Rube and Rake. This is actually one of the tracks on Side A and Side B of singles that they put out, which is going to be coming out on their album Good Time After Bad. And we now know the release date for this album, May the 9th. And I'm looking forward to getting the guys on, Josh and Andrew, to talk about this brand new record and what they're doing to promote it. Right now, from Good Time After Bad, here's side A of the two singles they put out this past week. Here are Ruben Rake with Friend of a Friend on the Musical Connections podcast.
It took 18 months of moving just to crawl up on our home. Stumbles down the mountain about an hour or so. But along the way, would your plans have changed? We were burning up the balsam, built the walls with alder plank, planting unfamiliar seed, just hoping it would take. But along the way, would your plans have changed? Only when you hit the road will your burden show. Friend of a friend, could I ask you again? Just leave us be. Don't speak your mind the next time our paths meet.
Releases is in the books for another week. For any musicians from Newfoundland and Labrador that want to be a part of this segment, you can email musicalconnectionsnl@gmail.com and you can find out everything you need to know about Newfound Releases. I got a guide on my Linktree. Just head on over to Linktree/ZachSnowNL and you'll find it in the Musical Connections Resources tab. It is now time to welcome my guest to the podcast this week, and we welcome drummer and musician Michael Dinn to the show. We talk about his 2025 RPM Challenge submissions from Smoke Spectre and Grog Bit. We also go over his career in a nutshell, from being in a musical family, being around his uncle Philip and Noel Dinn, to playing with some rock and roll bands in the mid-2010s, such as the Cartridge Family, Baytown, and the Daisy Cutters, and getting to open for such legendary acts like Simple Plan, Matthew Goodband, The Trues, and the Northern Pikes. We also go over some future plans for Michael Dinn. So let's not waste any more time and get connected with Michael Dinn, drummer and musician, here on the Musical Connections Podcast. Greetings, everyone. Welcome back to the Musical Connections Podcast. This is the show where you'll discover more about the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. Well, if you're familiar with the Dinn family, you're familiar with Philip Dinn, Noel Dinn. Of course, Noel Dinn was the founder of Figgy Duff. But you may be familiar with this guy if you've ever heard of bands like the Daisy Cutters, Baytown Connection, the Cartridge Family, and the most recent RPM Challenge submission, Smoke Spectre and Grogbit. And the guy I'm talking about right now joins me in the studio, Michael Dinn. How you doing, brother?
Good. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for coming on. And I know we've been talking about this for the past week or so because I featured your most recent RPM submission from Smoke Spectre, Old Hag, on the record-breaking Newfound Releases about a week or two ago.
Yeah, that was great.
And that was such a busy week. I don't think I've ever had that many releases in my life, and I'm probably never going to have that much again.
No, it's great. You're doing a great service, you know, getting the Newfoundland music and the artists out there, and appreciate what you're doing, man.
And it really means the world to me that I get a lot of the support from the independent music community, and it really kind of fills that void that, like, I think it's probably been missing now for quite some time.
It's, you know, we were talking about earlier, since COVID, the music scene has really taken a big hit, and trying to get, you know, local artists out and in people's, you know, kitchen, I guess, is something that has been missing. And I think things like your podcast and your media production and what you're doing is great. And hopefully you continue to do it and have some success with it.
Look, this is only the beginning. And the best thing about doing this podcast, there's so many more guests that I haven't had on this show yet. And as of now, you were one of those guests that I haven't had on before. So let's get into this.
Sure.
Of course, I've heard of your name, but there may not be people who may not be familiar with Michael Dinn. So tell me a little bit about yourself for our listeners out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I come from a musical background. I've been playing drums for, you know, 28 years, almost 30 years.
Geez, longer than I've been alive.
Yeah, I've been, I was, you know, I grew up around musical friends and CBS, and, you know, always been a part of jamming and, you know, learning songs and been performing. And as I was telling you, I think one of the first shows I ever played downtown was at a bar called Callio's. I'm sure some of the listeners will remember that place. But I was too young to play there. I had to get my mom to sign a note because it was in a bar that serves alcohol, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. But, you know, from there, it's just been my passion. I love it. You know, unfortunately, it's not my day job, but if it ever got to be to the point where I could financially sustain myself, I would, you know, it would be obviously ideal, right?
Oh, absolutely. Now, the Dinn name is really well known here in the Newfoundland and Labrador music community because, of course, everybody here remembers Noel Dinn, the architect and the brainchild of Figgy Duff. We also had Philip Dinn, who played with Figgy Duff at some of their reunion shows. You've played at one of their reunion shows, especially the Folk Fest one, which I was in attendance for back in 2016 at the 40th anniversary of the Folk Festival.
Correct,
and
yeah.
That was a blast.
Yes.
And we'll get to that later on, but
sure.
You grew up in that kind of like musical kind of family, even though, like, we were talking off the air here, your father doesn't have a musical bone in his damn body.
No, so Noel and Philip are actually my great uncles. They're my grandfather's brothers. So, but I mean, it was always prominent in the family. My dad's brother played drums, and he actually refurbished a set of his old drums, and I got those when I was about 5 years old, but I didn't really pick them up until I was 12. But my cousin Robbie plays as well. So, yeah, I mean, dad doesn't play. My grandfather doesn't play, but it was always a prominent thing. Like, oh, yeah, you know, Noel always loved the music. And, you know, everyone said, oh, you're really into it. And it was always just, you know, I was always encouraged to keep going with whatever I was doing. And unfortunately, I didn't get to know Noel a whole lot. He passed in 93, I believe, when I was only 8.
Wow.
Or maybe 94. I can't remember the exact year, but I wasn't very old. Philip, I was closer with. He's also passed now, but Philip was more of an actor towards the you know, he played with Figgy Duff, I believe, periodically, but he was involved in, you know, various stage performances like Sheila's Brush. He was an actor in the movie The Boys of St. Vincent, which wow. was all about the Mount Cashel incident.
Okay.
And he was also on some TV shows, Hatching, Matching, and Dispatching. I don't know if you remember that one.
Oh, is that the... No, I'm thinking about the different special. I have seen the Christmas special of Hatching, Matching, and Dispatching.
Yeah.
Where Mary Walsh and I think Johnny Harris was in that, and Joel Thomas Hines was in that too.
Right, yeah. And I mean, he was friends with all that crowd. And there's a couple of Codco skits he was involved in. I don't know if you've ever seen The Ship In Man. Philip Dinh was one of the Ship In Men. Look it up on YouTube. It's quite a comical. It's a comedy skit. But no, I mean, it's run in my family. It's been a prominent thing that I've grown up with. And I mean, Noel was obviously an inspiration to a lot of musicians, and you know, he had a lot of respect and. You know, especially on the traditional scene, they traveled all over Newfoundland, and they wanted to go to each community and learn, you know, okay, what are the, like, how should we be playing these traditional songs? You know, where are the roots of these traditional songs? And they really had a, you know, they put their own element to them too, had almost like a rock bass to them. But yeah, I mean, I don't play traditional stuff, but certainly a huge influence in my life.
Oh, big time. Now, you are from Conception Bay South, and it seems like a lot of the guests I've had on this show come from Conception Bay South. I mean, we talk about St. John's being the hub of Newfoundland and Labrador music and just the capital of Newfoundland and Labrador, but it seems like all the best musicians that are really making a living of this coming from Conception Bay South. I mean, you got, quote, The Raven, Jordan Coker and Kirsten Ron Clark. They met in choir practice when yeah. they were in high school together.
Right.
And then you have Darcy Scott, who is an up-and-coming singer-songwriter from mm-hmm. CBS. Justin Fancy, one of the biggest country music yep. stars we've had.
Justin.
Oh, really?
He's younger than me, but we went up through school together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fancy, if you're watching this, one of your friends is on my podcast now. Fancy definitely is making some noise. He just put out a song.
Yeah, no.
He just put out Break My Heart Again, which is his most recent single from his new album set to come out this year. Mm-hmm. Mallory Johnson made some noise.
Yep.
She grew up in Conroy Valley. But I think when I had her on my podcast, she mentioned she was born in Yellowknife.
Right.
But she grew up in Conroy Valley, of course. Her uncle's Gordon Cormier. Her mother's Loretta Johnson.
Yep.
And they ended up playing together with the Cormiers. But she's from Conception Bay South, too.
She is. I knew her sister, Rosa.
Oh, really?
They're from Topsail, or they lived in Topsail briefly. So I remember them. Yeah, I remember them growing up. She's, again, younger than I, but yeah, I know the family well. I know her music. She's doing fabulous. It's great to see everybody. And, of course, you've got Brad Power playing with the Novaks, one of the best guitar players in the city, I think. He's also played with Mark Bragg, you know, and his brother Luke, also an excellent musician, plays with everybody. Yeah, you know, Steve Abbott from Genius, from a band a while ago. He just did an RPM called Ribbon. He's fantastic.
Yes, I featured him on that record-breaking release 2 weeks
ago.
Yeah,
yeah. So, I mean, all these guys were, you know, they were awesome growing up. And I looked up to all these guys. I mean, they're my peers, but, you know, they were people that certainly kept me wanting to be at my best, for sure.
Oh, yeah. One of the your first big breaks into music was... forming Baytown Connection. One of the members of the group was Matt Cook, who goes by Mozzie now.
Yeah.
Who I've had on the podcast about, last summer. And it was great to talk about that with him, too. So you were one of the founding members of the group as well. So tell me a little bit about how the Baytown Connection thing came together.
Yeah, so Cook and I, we were buddies well before we started playing in that band. Cook has always been playing. He's a couple years younger than me, too, but... we grew up skateboarding together, and he always, you know, played guitar. And myself and Lee Wright, who we affectionately called Jimmy, we played in a little band before that called Spicy Mild, and it was just a, you know, we had a few of our own tunes, but playing a lot of like Sublime and Red Hot Chili Peppers, that sort of thing. And you know, it was cool. It was our introduction into the music scene and playing in town and that sort of thing. But you know, it kind of fizzled out. And then Matt Cook actually approached us and said, you know, I got some songs, like we should jam sometime. And we just started jamming, and eventually we lost the connection, and it just became Baytown. And we were a trio for the first little while. We did a couple of EPs. You know, we gained some notoriety here in the city. You know, we became involved with Music NL and the East Coast Music Association and that sort of thing. And then we got Greg Bruce on board, who's a saxophone player, fantastic musician. You know, we released a couple of albums, and it was a great time. And I know Cook has gone on. I mean, he just did a tour of Japan, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's still killing it, and it's great to see it. But yeah, we were just old friends wanting to make some music together, and we just started to gain some success. And yeah, we had a couple of great years doing it.
Oh, for sure. Now, you've opened up for some heavy hitters in the rock and roll scene in Canada during your time with Baytown.
Yeah.
You've opened up for Matthew Good Band, Big Band in the 90s, the Northern Pikes, late 80s, early 90s band. And then you had the Trues, which were really one of the best bands to come out of Atlantic Canada, I believe, in the new millennium. So what was it like opening up for those bands? And I'm going to put you on the spot here. Out of those bands that you've opened up for with Baytown, which one was your favorite?
Probably the Trues. We did Jib Fest in Corner Brook, and the year escapes me. But we played the Pepsi Center. We opened up for the Trues, but after that gig, we also had a gig at Wayland's Gate in town. So we played twice that night. And after we were finished with the Trues gig, we had to leave immediately. We didn't actually get to stick around and see the Trues. But they came to Wayland's Gate, and they got up on stage with us, and we had a great jam.
Wow.
With the guys. We played a couple of Rolling Stones songs. It was super fun. Yeah, it was great. But yeah, the Northern Pikes, I mean, that was more of a festival thing. We played at River Fest, which is happened in a small town in Nova Scotia. I think it's Waterbridge.
Okay.
Or Bridgewater, Nova Scotia. Sorry. And we passed through there, and we were doing a little East Coast tour, and they were the headlining act. So we were just on the bill with them, but it was still neat. Like, you know, they've got a couple of hit singles and stuff. And,
She Ain't Pretty and Kiss Me, You Fool.
Yeah, absolutely. And Matthew Good was, we played with them at the Breezeway at the university.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool as well. And we didn't really get to meet any of these guys other than the Trues. So that's, I guess, we more of a personal level. We kind of got to hang out with them and jam with them. The other groups, we kind of were just on the bill, but it's still cool to say that, you know, these popular Canadian artists, we were a part of, you know, their shows and stuff.
Yeah. And that's a great thing to have on your resume too. Like, yeah. Hey, I'm Mike Dinn. I've opened up for Matthew Good. I've opened up for the Trues and the Northern Pikes. And, yep. Fast forward, you were in a band, during the, late stages of 2010 to around, late stage of the 2010s to around early 2020 when the world just shit the bed and COVID happened.
Right.
You were in the Daisy Cutters with another one of your bandmates who, did this Smoke Spectre project with you, Curtis Keats.
Correct.
And you got to open up for Simple Plan.
We did. And actually, there's a couple other... Simple Plan was cool. Again, it was at George Street Festival. So we were on the bill with Simple Plan. And they closed it out. So there were a couple other bands there as well. But that was neat, sharing the stage with someone of that notoriety. We also played for Prism. We opened up for Prism. There was a show they held in on Kenmount Road there. Actually, it was put off at the one of the restaurants there, strangely enough. But they had the parking lot all blocked off, and they had Prism come in. And I think that was Jordan Gowdy was one of the managers at the bar at the time.
Oh, wow.
And he put that together and then asked the Daisy Cutters to play. So that was pretty cool, too. I mean, you know, playing, opening up for these Canadian legends is always a treat, you know. So it's been cool to be on big stages with some of those guys. And
I'd say, and Simple Plan were like some of the big pop punk bands, out of Canada that have really, you know, come to, you know, define rock and roll in Canada in the new millennium, including Sum 41 as well, were big pop punk legends.
Yeah,
here.
Absolutely.
And it just recently, broke up, not really broke up, but like announced their retirement.
Yeah,
too.
That's right.
But like, it's music that we really all grew up listening to. I mean, myself, I grew up listening to quite a bit of Nickelback.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm of a different generation, but certainly the Canadian artists like the Tragically Hip for me were huge. Nickelback, you know, they had their time as well. And, you know, the Canadian punk bands like Sum 41 and Simple Plan, like you say. I grew up in the 90s, so I liked like Offspring and Green Day and those type of pop punk bands, I guess. But yeah, no, it was awesome to be a part of that. You know, it's always cool when you're asked to play on big stages with those big bands and get a feel for, you know, what it's like to, you know, to play in front of big audiences and stuff like that. And, you know, a couple of these bands were on the downswing a little. I mean, you know.
Yeah, commercially.
Commercially, but still fun, you know.
Absolutely, but they can still sell out a George Street Festival or, in this case, in this day and age, an Iceberg Alley Performance Tent or a Churchill Park Music Festival.
Yeah, no, it's great.
And
yeah.
I'm wondering who's going to be headlining those this year.
Yeah, me too. I'm always curious to see who's coming here. You know, it's sometimes it's hard to get the big acts to Newfoundland, I guess, for cost reasons and stuff like that. But, you know, they've done a great job as of late. And I think, isn't Collective Soul coming here?
Yes, they're coming here in, by the time of this era, they have already played.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because they were one of my favorite bands in the 90s. I used to try to emulate those songs on the drums growing up.
And, oh, wow. That's awesome.
Them and Oasis and those 90s rock bands.
Like alt-rock, Britpop kind of
bands.
Yeah,
that stuff. Whatever was popular at the time, you know. Of course, later the tastes expanded into classic rock and much, much more. But
oh, yeah. Now, yeah. Of course, another one of the bands that you were a part of was the Cartridge Family. And in your bio here that you sent me, you described it as like your best years playing in music. And one of the members of the band, I did not know this until recently, Jordan Young, who you may be familiar with, he's worked with Evelyn Jess.
Yep.
And he also plays in Coker's Hat now.
That's right.
And he plays all over the city in other bands. So that's a new fact that I didn't know about.
Oh, yeah.
Because I used to attend Sandbox Gaming events, and I don't think the Cartridge Family played at those, but no. I have heard of you guys through, like, you know, covering music for the Muse and stuff.
Yeah.
But tell me about those Cartridge Family days.
Oh, they were great. I mean, I'm a huge retro gaming advocate. I love all the old Nintendo and Sega stuff. So a buddy of mine, Leon White, who is also a well-renowned musician in town, he's been a part of various projects as well. He approached me and said that he and Jordan and Dave Walsh, who's a great guy, he was the Children's Wish Foundation guy for a long time, but also a great guitar player. So they had an idea of doing a four-piece rock band playing classic, you know, video game music. So like the soundtrack that you'd hear when you're playing Super Mario Brothers or Sonic the Hedgehog, you know, that the stuff that you hear while you're playing the game, they wanted to recreate this as a four-piece rock band. And I mean, it's been done. The Mini Bosses were a band that's kind of done it, but, you know, we took our own spin and did it, and it really took off. You know, the nostalgia really spoke to people, and it had a real, a niche in the city because we were the only ones really doing it. And it was super fun because we all just loved the music, and we'd pick, you know, specific games from The Legend of Zelda, and then we'd do a gig at the Levy, and we'd call it The Levy of Zelda. We had one called George Street Fighter where we played at the Rock House, and we would play like Street Fighter music or, you know, and a variety of other things. Mega Man Xmas was one we did. Yeah, it was great.
Awesome.
It was awesome, man. And I mean, just growing up and loving those games and then, you know, recreating the music. Because some of the music I mean, those scores, they're all in 8-bit MIDI, but they're tough. You know?
Oh, yes.
They're tough to play. So it was challenging, but it was so fun. And we got a great response. You know, and we played at the Avalon Expo, you know, and we had a couple of, we had our own Cartfam Art Jam, we called it, where we invited local artists and various vendors to come in and almost have like a flea market-esque type scenario while we played a show. We had our buddy Phil Mullins playing Mega Man while we played Mega Man music.
Wow.
It was super cool to do all those like fun ideas, right? Of course, you know, it wasn't any of our own music, but we put our own spin on all of it. And, you know, Leon's arrangements and everybody's contributions, you know, they made it different, you know. So we had a blast doing that.
I can only imagine how fun those gigs must have been playing some of your favorite video game music from those soundtracks you've really come to know and appreciate from playing those games all those years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's great.
And I think some of my favorite scores probably come from like the Xenoblade series.
Okay.
They're remarkably good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm a big RPG fan myself. So Final Fantasy was one we did. We did a few of those Final Fantasy soundtracks. But yeah, Xenoblades, Xenosaga, a lot of those old games. I love all that stuff. Yeah, I'm a big geek when it comes to the Japanese video games and anime, all that stuff. I love all that stuff.
Do you have a favorite video game that you've ever played?
Yeah, probably Chrono Trigger for Super Nintendo. Yeah,
okay, love that. Nice
game.
Choice.
Yeah, yeah, that's a childhood favorite for sure. I mean, I still game to this day. You know, I play playing the new Zelda on the Switch.
Echoes of Wisdom.
It's Tears of the Kingdom. Yeah.
Great. Oh, the new mainline game.
Because
there was a new Zelda that came out back in September.
Oh, okay.
Called Echoes of Wisdom.
Okay, I haven't played that.
And that's
one.
Where Link gets kidnapped and you play a Zelda.
Oh, cool. Yeah, no, that's interesting. Yeah, so I mean, I'm always, it's of course it's when I have the time. It's a pastime, right?
Same here with me, man.
Yeah, I still love it. You know, I'm 40 years old and I still love video games, but I don't have any kids. And you know, when you got some downtime and stuff, it's a nice relaxing pastime for sure.
Hey, Hulk Caesar, if you're watching this, I found a guy you can play video games with for one of your next videos here. Mike Din, right here.
Perfect.
Hulk Caesar Show, they're doing some really great work as well when it comes to covering the arts and culture scene here in the province.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what his video game series is, but if you're looking for a place to play video games and just hang out with a like-minded person, then I know the guy.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know him. Yeah.
If you want me on your show. But anyways, we're getting sidetracked here. But if I had a favorite video game, one game that I played when I was young that I got for Christmas was Super Mario Sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got the Super Mario All-Stars game on the Switch.
Yes.
And every time I play that game now, I go back to Sunshine because I grew up with that.
Right.
That's my childhood right there.
Sure, sure. And again, like I guess the age difference, that came out a little later for me, but I do remember it on the GameCube. Mario 64 was probably one of the staples for me. And
That's a classic.
Yeah, and of course, Super Mario World. And I mean, I still love the Mario games. I got Odyssey, which is great.
Odyssey's phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. I love those games. I'm still a kid at heart, man.
And Galaxy and Galaxy 2 for me.
Oh, Galaxy. I don't think I played the second one, but yeah, Galaxy was unreal. Yeah.
Galaxy 2 is huge.
Is it? Yeah, cool.
Huge. 240 stars versus 120 they normally get.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, we could talk about this holiday.
Oh, yeah, no.
But I want to get to the real reason I got you on here is to talk about your RPM challenge submission, which was a Smoke Spectre. And you also put out one with your own project called Grogbit.
Correct.
Which is something that you really are really proud of. But I want to focus on Smoke Spectre for a minute because you, of course, you did this project as well with Curtis Keats and what's the other guy's name? Jordan Way?
Jordan Duty and Jordan Corey Duty Way.
And Corey Way.
Yeah, correct.
And you sent me Old Hag, which I featured on New Found Releases 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about this year's RPM challenge for Smoke Spectre and then also talk about Grogbit after that.
Sure. So a couple of my buddies, myself and Jordan, who we've grown up together and playing in various bands, Primus cover bands and that sort of thing. We had an idea that we wanted to do like a stoner rock type of project, a doom metal, if you were, kind of like a Black Sabbath or almost like a Caius or Queens of the Stone Age type thing. Because I love bands like Sleep or Uncle Ass and the Deadbeats. You know, the whole doom scene is very cool.
I could definitely hear that in this Smoke Spectre record.
Yeah, yeah. And so we had the idea. And Curtis, of course, is a buddy of mine from Daisy Cutters. He was the vocalist and guitar player from Daisy Cutters. And Corey Way actually plays with me with another project that we'll talk about later, Vaudevillains. And he plays in a variety of bands. He just did the Killers tribute. I think it was this weekend past.
Was that the Mr. Brightside?
I think it might have been that. I'm not sure exactly what it was called, but it got canceled due to weather, and then they had to postpone it till this weekend, I believe. But he also plays in that 90s band, and he's a premier bass player, man. He's one of the best guys I've played with. Excellent guy, excellent player. We had an idea, you know, we wanted to do an RPM. We're all very busy, so we only did the one track. We didn't actually do a full album or anything, but we focused on one and tried to make it the best we could. But that was the main goal. We wanted to have, you know, kind of that heavy, slow riff driven rock sound, which I think we've accomplished, and we were very proud of it. It turned out pretty good.
Yeah, and some of those bands you mentioned, like Queens of the Stone Age and Black Sabbath, I definitely can hear some of that in this track you sent me called Old Hag.
Sure.
Now let's talk about Grogbit, because you put out a song called Now That We're Talking, or Now You're Talking?
Now That We're Talking, yeah.
Now That We're Talking.
Yeah, yeah. So that's that's my personal project. So I've been making music on my own. I did an RPM. I started doing the RPMs as on my own as a kind of foray to get out of just drumming. I love drumming and I will drum forever, but to try to, you know, like I was saying before, I've been playing other people's music my whole life, and to try to really be creative on my own end and maybe create something from my brain and my vision. It's tough because I'm still learning how to play a lot of the other instruments besides the drums, and also the production side of it. I'm very new. So I've got a little studio in my basement. You know, I've got a pile of synthesizers, and it's very synth driven. So I started doing the RPM challenge a couple of years ago. I released an EP through that. And since then, I've just been slowly releasing music one track at a time under the pseudonym Grogbit. And I have a picture of my dog. Basil is my that's my profile picture for my SoundCloud account. And he's actually featured on a few tracks too. He always barks while I'm recording. So you can pick him out in a few tracks, and I've just left it in there because, you know, he's my guy. But it's been fun. It's been a learning process. I think this year I want to do a full length album. It's going to be my first time really doing that on my own. And I'm not doing it professionally. I'm doing it all myself. I think it's just going to be released online. I don't plan on selling it. You know, I'm just gonna do it, put it out there, get my art out there. It's more so a passion project, and you know, just to keep getting better and that sort of thing. But it's something that I want to do.
Mm-hmm. But you also have that history of, you know, being around those legends in music like Philip and Noldin. Well, mainly Noldin, not so much Philip, where he's has that actor. But you also put that like showmanship and professionalism of, you know, creating art into this new project he got on now called Grogbit. And there's also a new one you got on the go soon now called Vaudevillains. And a project. But anyways, tell me about that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's actually the brainchild of Matthew Aylward. He was the keyboard player for Daisy Cutters. He's currently playing with Cabot Power and the Niati List. The list goes on. He's just a fantastic musician as well. I think he started out playing trumpet. But anyway, he's doing his own thing, I guess, kind of in the same mindset of myself with Grogbit. He just wanted to start doing his own music. And he asked myself and Corey Way to play. Corey Way plays bass, and Daniel Ludlow plays lead guitar, and he's involved with a few different projects as well around the city. So it's very piano-based type music. I don't want to pigeonhole it and say it's like anything, but I guess it's got like a David Bowie theatrical vibe to it.
It's like a Ziggy Stardust type
sound? Kind of, you know, but it's Matt's stamp on it. But it's got like a Queen, Billy Joel-esque-ness to it as well, if that makes sense.
What era of Billy Joel?
I guess, you know, the Piano Man stuff, it's focusing, like, Matt's the center of the project. He plays piano and he's the vocalist. So everything is really driven by him. So it's his baby type thing. And, the sound is certainly different. We've actually only played one gig. We played at the Black Sheep last November. But there's many more to come. And, you know, we're always doing some recording and that sort of stuff. And nothing that's released yet. But again, it's kind of just a project I'm a part of. So mm-hmm. he's driving the car on that one.
Oh, for sure. Now, you got some more future plans in the books. I mean, you're going to be putting on some more stuff with Grog Bitch. Yep. That's your pseudonym. You got the Vaudevillains on the go. Any other future plans that we should know about, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always playing a lot of these tribute shows nowadays. You know, being a drummer, I guess I like to, with the analogy, it's kind of like if you're a sports fan, it's like being a goalie in hockey. You know, there's only so many of them. So I'm always asked to play in a lot of these projects. Last night, actually, I filled in for Jeff Osmond on drums for Full Moon Fever, which is the Tom Petty tribute. They played in a memorial service for Matthew Downs, who passed tragically last year. But I'm also we're doing a Bob Seger tribute. We actually did it a couple years ago at the Rock House, close but no Seger. That's with Curtis Keats as well, and most of the Daisy Cutters, actually.
Wow.
And we've got a gig in Bay Roberts in April. I'm also playing with Carolee Coleman and Steve Crew and Geo Hewitt. We're doing a Pixies tribute. So that's a bit of fun as well. You know, Carolee is, she's making music all the time. She has so much music out. And of course, Steve Crew is from the old band, the reggae group Skank. I don't know if you remember them.
No.
Well, they're from the late 90s, early 2000s. Very big on the reggae scene. Neil Conway, was involved with them. And
okay.
Yeah. The Discounts, which Neil Conway, that's his group. I played briefly with them as well. But yeah, back in the 2000s, the early 2000s, reggae was huge here in the city. So Skank was a big part of that. So anyway, that's a project I have on the go with them as well. And I've been playing some stuff with Kara on her own material. So, you know, I like to call it like session work, you know, I might just get a call and say, hey, you want to play these tribute shows, and I just got to learn like 30 songs, and it's great for the chops, you know, but I still have the creative stuff on the side, which, you know, keeps me, interested. Sometimes, you know, playing other people's stuff is great, but it's nice to create your own thing too, right?
Oh, yeah. And for people who want to follow you on this journey of all the stuff that you're doing right now, Mike, where can people follow you? Or would you rather just like prefer to be like, you know, on the low key?
I mean, you know, I don't really have any type of social media. I mean, I guess my Dindrums Instagram account is all based on my music. It's not really personal stuff. It's all music related. And my SoundCloud account, Grogbit. So that's where I release most of my music. And I think once I delve into creating some more music, I think I'm going to start up a Bandcamp site and maybe even, you know, another site or a page on Facebook or something with more social media stuff regarding more of my musical persona as, say, just my personal type stuff, right? But, yeah, that's probably it as of now.
Well, I know you've been wanting to come on this podcast for the past week or so, and I'm so happy we were able to do this today. Yeah. Mike Dinn, thanks for doing this.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. It was great.
And that was Mike Dinn on the Musical Connections podcast. You can follow everything he has on the go at Dinn Drums on Instagram. Well, right now, here is that RPM Challenge submission that I featured on Newfound Releases a few weeks ago. Here are Smoke Spectre with Old Hag on the Musical Connections podcast. We'll be right back.
It's always a lot of fun whenever these podcast episodes happen. And another one just wrapped up. A big thank you to Mike Din for joining me as my guest, and to each and every single musician who contributed their songs for Newfound Releases. Thank you for trusting me to spin your tunes and connecting Newfoundland Labrador music with the world. Now, there are many ways you can stay connected and help me with my mission of growing our sector one song at a time. How do you do that? You can share this podcast with your friends and make sure to leave a review while you're done this episode. And let me know what you think of the podcast. It'll help spread the word about the show and about the music of Newfoundland and Labrador, which to me is the end game of growing our music sector, getting this out to as many ears and eyes as possible. You can follow me on your favorite social media platforms for anything Musical Connections related. You can follow me on Zach Snow on Facebook, Zach Snow NL on Instagram, and you can also subscribe to the Musical Connections NL YouTube channel for video versions of my podcast interviews you hear each and every single week. You can also follow and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast streaming services, whether it be RSS, Apple, or Spotify. Make sure to follow and subscribe to the show to make sure you do not miss an episode. And once again, as I said before, leave a review once you're done an episode and let me know what you think of the show. And make sure to tune in to new episodes, which drop every Tuesday wherever you get your podcast. And you may see a bonus episode when you least expect it. So make sure to stay tuned to my social media for any bonus episodes of Musical Connections. That does it for episode 116 of Musical Connections. Well, technically 117 because of the bonus episode. But as main episodes, this is 116. That does it for this week. Thanks for connecting once again. I've been your host, Zach Snow. Join me once again, where once more, we will highlight the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. Stay safe, be kind to each other, and most importantly, stay connected. Until next time, bye for now.